The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. We're just a couple weeks away now from a very important election, and things are developing rapidly in our state and around the country. Let's keep you posted on what's going on, because I got to straighten out some of the other stuff that's being shoveled your way in some other places in the media. Wait until you see some of the numbers that I've dug up here. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
6 days ago, I told you the tragic story of the shooting in the Central District, the murder of a 34-year-old man, Devon Pickett Jr., 31-year-old man, Devon Pickett Jr. Devon Pickett Jr. went to Rainier Beach High School, played basketball at Seattle U. His children are the fifth generation of his family in the Central District. He and his wife started a mailer business called The Postman to honor his great-grandfather, who was a postman in the Central District for 37 years. It was and is an incredible story of somebody who was absolutely dedicated to building community, building business. He had a great family. He was married to his high school sweetheart. They have three little kids, 11, 6, and 9 months old. And you no doubt know by now what happened a week ago this evening. At 6:30, the family, all five of them, went to the business. They were going to just pick up a couple of things. And that's when a man walked up to Devon Pickett. The man's name is Ashton LaFall. He also grew up in the Central District. He also is 31 years old, but that's about where the similarities stop. LaFall's been a lifetime criminal. In fact, we're just getting more information on the guy's criminal history. And it's extensive, including several felony charges when he was a juvenile. Now, this is very important because it has been an obsession with leftist politicians in this region to not charge juveniles with crimes, even if they are felony crimes, even if they involve guns. I know they tell us all the time how upset they are about gun violence. But then when criminals commit crimes with guns, those same people are desperate to get them back out on the street as quickly as possible. So this guy learned that you could commit really serious crimes and just be kicked back out on the streets. And so Ashton LaFall kept committing crimes. And he had threatened Devon Pickett before. He seemed to have some obsession with him. In fact, Devon Pickett had gone to authorities and said, this guy is really amping it up against me and my family. When his widow was asked if she had any idea who might have murdered her husband in cold blood, she immediately said, yeah, Ashton LaFall. And so SWAT team was able to go and grab up this guy. But this is an extension of what has been the political mania in our region to not prosecute juveniles for incredibly serious felony crimes. And why? Because they said it's racist. So what's happening too often is you get people like Ashton LaFall who believe that they can commit crimes with absolute impunity, because that has been the message that society has given them from the time that they were the most developmentally at their cognitive ability. And they just came to learn that crime does pay. I probably won't get caught, and if I do get caught, nothing's going to happen to me. Now, this has been an extension of what politicians have been doing, what Dow Constein has been pushing for, no youth jail, no bail, all of these things. And now we have a record number of criminals roaming the streets. And what is ironic is that they say that they wanted to allow juveniles to commit felony crimes with impunity because it's, as I said earlier, racist. But then who's going out and getting killed by these guys? It is at a very disproportionate level, people of color. So all they're doing is they are protecting the criminals in the name of racism, and they're making people of color victims because of this screwed up system that we have. LaFall had juvenile convictions in 2005, 2006 for theft, taking a motor vehicle, malicious mischief, possession of stolen property. Because of the felonies, he was not legally allowed to carry a firearm. Shocking! He chose to ignore the law and carrying a gun, too. And when you have all of these people in politics and in the media who are saying that, you know, getting rid of 500 Seattle cops is a good thing, who say that no juvenile jail is a good thing, they are sentencing to death the very communities that they say they want to protect. And, man, it was, in court yesterday at the first hearing arraignment for Ashton LaFall, it was one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen as Devon Pickett's family was there, just grief-stricken, including his mother.
That was my firstborn child, my only son. He was amazing. He was a amazing son, amazing brother, amazing father, husband, a homeowner, a business owner. I'm so proud of my baby.
Should great reason to be proud of her baby. He had such dreams about how he was going to build this business, grow the business, employ people in the community. And when there are so many people who grew up in the Central District who are upset about the white gentrification of their neighborhood, here's a guy who said, no, we're going to fight back by growing a black-owned, and he's going to try to hire people from the neighborhood. And that was how he was going to fight against gentrification. He wasn't going to try to outlaw it. He was going to just build and create on his own. Such a noble cause, such a wonderful, everything I've heard about him. I know a couple people who knew Devon, and they said just as a husband, as a father, there's nobody better. This is what our current attitude towards crime has brought us. This is what people like Dow Constantine and our revolving door prosecutors and Jay Inslee, who doesn't say a word. Jay Inslee hasn't said a word about any of this, by the way. Bruce Harrell, he sent a statement from South America when this crime occurred. He didn't mention that he, as a councilman, said he wanted to decriminalize violence. Bruce Harrell has played a huge role in the carnage on the streets. I'm going to talk at 12:30 this afternoon with one of the King County prosecutor candidates, because if crime is your top concern, there is no race more important on this ballot than King County prosecutor. We'll talk to one of the candidates coming up right after the bottom of the hour. Now, what are the other major issues that are affecting us? Well, I said yesterday, I think that parents are going to be the key in this election. And I think parents recognize that around here we need a massive change. We are starting to get details. CBS News over the weekend started to cover what is a gigantic story involving your kids.
Back in the U.S., some parents and educators are sorry over the long online education during the pandemic. This is evidence mounts of the harmful effects of those school closures.
Yeah, we're getting evidence now that the drop in student test scores is dramatic. And here in Washington, it's among the worst in the nation. And why? Because Jay Inslee, with his emergency powers, kept the schools closed longer here in Washington State than almost any place else in the country. And the kids test scores that we are now starting to see are devastating. Fox News.
A decline in children's test scores in this country, the biggest drop that we have seen in decades. It follows the devastating closures due to COVID that kept millions of children out of the classrooms. Hello and welcome, everyone.
The biggest drop in decades that we have seen in child test scores. Well, of course, it's because of the closure. The reason Washington is among the worst in the nation is because we kept the kids out of school for among the longest in the nation.
Two and just 15 days left until the midterms. I'm John Roberts in Washington. On average, fourth graders' math scores dropped 5 points, while eighth graders' scores plunged 8.
At both grade levels, the average reading scores dropped 3 points since the pandemic started. Fallout from the decision to close schools, along with parents' rights regarding what children are taught, have made education a key issue in the midterm elections.
And this is why I think the parents are going to be the key, because maybe you can stick your head in the sand about murders that happen in neighborhoods that you never visit, but there's no way you can stick your head in the sand about what's happened to your kids. And this test data, it is so damning.
This should be a call to action. This is a moment for us to recognize that the path we're on is the right path. We just have to run faster. Our kids don't have time. We have to run faster. And so I hope we're all shocked, because we should be.
I'm not shocked. I predicted this. I told you that this was going to be damaging, and especially when the head of the teachers union here in Washington State, Larry Delaney, he in the summer or the fall of 2020 indicated with perfect clarity that the teachers union could not possibly care less about what was happening to the education of kids.
Our kids are resilient. I think one of the concerns as a parent, we have concerns that, is my child falling behind? Well, my question would be, falling behind who? Across the country, everyone has missed certain learning. So if everyone is, quote, behind, I guess no one is behind.
Okay, that's what the teachers union thought about your child. Your kid's behind, but everyone's behind. So your kid's not behind. Well, it's just not true, because much of the rest of the nation did better than Washington State. In Utah, math scores actually went up during the pandemic. But compared to kids around the world in a global economy, a global job marketplace, American kids who lost 2 full years of education are going to pay for this for the rest of their lives, very possibly, because they're so far behind. The kids who graduated before them, the kids who will come after them, and the rest of the world, they are so far behind. So, you got crime, you have inflation, you have your kids' education. What is the number one issue in this election? Well, if you were to believe Woke 5 and the Seattle Times, they say they have a new poll that tells us the only issue that matters to people in this state.
Overturned Roe v. Wade. An abortion.
Abortion.
The woman's right to choose.
The right of a woman to exercise her right of choice.
Abortion. Abortion.
Abortion.
Abortion.
A woman's right to reproductive choice.
Okay, so they released a new poll this morning that says abortion is the number one election issue in Washington State, which just sounds impossible to me, because I know how families are hurting at the grocery store and at the gas pump. I know that we have thousands of people dying from meth and fentanyl that's streaming into our state. I know that we have some of the worst crime in the nation and murders like this tragic Central District shooting, and that abortion's never going to be threatened here in Washington. The Supreme Court says it's a state's rights issue, and it's never going to be threatened. So it's a completely manufactured issue. But how manufactured is it? So this morning, I went into the poll that King 5, Woke 5 News, and the Seattle Times released. And I was trying to figure out how in the world were they able to manipulate the numbers to make abortion the number one issue. Well, here's what's interesting. According to the latest Crosscut poll of what percentage of the state are Democrats, what percent are Republicans, their latest poll says we got 7%, 7 points more Democrats than Republicans. But in the Woke 5 Seattle Times poll, they had 13% more Democrats than Republicans. So with that, of course, issues like the one they couldn't stop talking about.
Overturned Roe v. Wade. An abortion.
Abortion.
The woman's right to choose.
Yeah, how do you get those numbers, making that the most important issue? Well, you almost double. They kept the independents in proportion, but they almost doubled the gap between Democrats and Republicans. So this is a last-ditch effort by Woke 5 and the Seattle Times to try to boost Patty Murray and Kim Schreier and the candidate. I mean, it's just a manipulated bit of data so that they can boost their candidate. And this is the mainstream media manipulating numbers, doing in the guise of news. But go into the data on this poll. They had 36% Democrats, 23% Republicans polled, where Crosscut says the gap is only 7 points in reality. So you can manipulate polls, you can manipulate data, and you can manipulate the news. And that's what's happening as the mainstream media does a last-ditch effort to try to turn around this election that is looking so horrible for their party, the media's party, in the midterms. And then finally, what about Jay Inslee? Is he talking at all about the crime? Is he talking at all about the inflation? Our inflation, by the way, 12% in Washington, according to the latest congressional look at states inflation, much worse than the rest of the country. Is he talking about any of these things? Well, no. If you Google Jay Inslee and do a news search, you know what you're going to find? The governor of Jay Inslee has released this press release. Inslee's invite trick-or-treaters to the Adams family-themed Halloween at the executive residence. Governor Jay Inslee and first spouse Trudy Inslee invite trick-or-treaters to join them on Halloween. The Inslees will hand out Washington treats to trick-or-treaters. Whether creepy or kooky, mysterious or spooky, or altogether ooky, wear your favorite Halloween costume for this special trick-or-treat event. That's what our governor's doing. Record murder pace, record drug overdose deaths, inflation crippling families, murders on the street. He's going to have an Adams Family Halloween coming up. Snap, snap. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Very important race coming up to deal with this crime issue. Who's going to be the next King County prosecutor? I will talk with one of those candidates next, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as I've told you of the many items on the ballot coming up in a couple of weeks, I do believe the most important on the ballot is for King County prosecutor. You have Jim Farrell, who's the mayor of Federal Way, and Lisa Mannion, who is an assistant prosecutor right now. But if you want an example of how important this is, you know, last week, a beloved Central District businessman, 31-year-old Devon Pickett, was gunned down. The gunman was somebody who had three prior felony convictions, and a revolving door of justice just kept kicking this guy loose. And now people finally express anguish when somebody much beloved, a father of three, a husband, is murdered in front of his business. And one of the person who has pledged the most to stop the revolving door of justice is prosecutor candidate Jim Farrell, who joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Jim, good to talk to you once again.
Thanks, Dory. Great talking to you.
The issue I just mentioned, we had a guy with three prior felony convictions. He also had a lot of juvie convictions. The mantra the last few years by a lot of people in power in King County has been no youth jail, no consequences for juveniles who commit crime, and then let's get criminals back out on the street as quickly as possible. I know that you have said that you're going to try to do whatever you can to stop that from happening.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, first of all, the situation over at the King County Jail has reached a crisis level. There are 100 officers down. They've got to hire more officers. They kept the COVID protocols far too long, and it was really catch and release in a literal revolving door. So that had to get addressed. Our King County prosecutor just stood quietly by while that was going on, and really while the, you know, the people of our communities have been, you know, really victimized. So you need the prosecutor that's going to lead, you know, not only on criminal justice reform issues and talk about common sense solutions, but also to make sure that when, you know, things are happening on the very streets in front of the courthouse, you know, that and making sure that the streets are safe and the jails are fully staffed and that the officers, the police departments are fully staffed as well. This position is really the hinge point of the entire criminal justice system, and we need somebody that's going to be much more active and engaged.
What can you do, and what power does the prosecutor have on day one? What can and will you do if you're elected to get tougher on crime?
Well, first of all, we've got a crippling backlog of 4,500 felony cases that has to be addressed on day one. You need an aggressive triage of those cases, set up a specialized unit, and really a plan. I've been working on a plan right now and that I've been talking about to expand the system to make sure that we get those cases through. The other thing is we've got to make sure that we address our filing standards at the prosecutor's office. But I have to tell you, I have received some huge endorsements from people currently in the office, the head of the appellate unit, one of the main homicide prosecutors, the former chief criminal deputy of the criminal prosecutor's office for over 20 years, the guy who hired me 24 years ago, that launched my 16-year career there. And what they all talk about is the fact that there are not enough trial deputies handling cases. They've got them doing all kinds of different things, but not handling cases. You need the serious cases to be handled by the senior deputies and get these cases to trial. So I know they're doing all kinds of different kind of programs there, but I think the whole office needs a reset and a reorganization.
Okay, now you're touting your endorsements, but man, Lisa Manion, she got quite an endorsement last week when radical leftist singer John Legend said that he is endorsing your opponent. What I find interesting about that is John Legend also not only endorsed, but during his recall process was fighting for the San Francisco prosecutor who the voters kicked out because he was so soft on crime. And that's apparently John Legend thinks the same thing about your opponent.
Yeah, you know, Chase Boudin really, you know, down in San Francisco, as you know, really lost touch with the priorities of the community. And I think, you know, the voters there stood up and just said, absolutely, this is absolutely not acceptable. And I think we've got an opportunity here to make sure that we don't go in that direction. But I can tell you that King County's at a tipping point. Many people feel that it's long past that. But one only needs to look at San Francisco, Portland, Los Angeles, who faces their own, you know, situation there, and with Gascon. And we don't want that to be the case here. We've got a beautiful city. We've got, you know, a destination of tourism. And we've got to make sure that, you know, people that live here and love Seattle. I was at an event last night and people told me that, you know, when they grew up here, first came here, they just loved this area. And they're very concerned about the direction it's going. And I think this is a tremendous opportunity to turn it around.
When I hear about Hollywood celebrities getting involved in the King County prosecutor's race, it makes me wonder. I haven't found any connection, but we know that George Soros has been involved in prosecutor and DA races around the country. Are there any Soros dollars involved for your opponent in this race?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean,
I couldn't find any either.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. In fact, actually, you know, from everything I've seen, it's been all local. And, you know, gosh, we're going to be at 400,000 raised here pretty soon. It's been just an absolute tremendous show of support. And I've got, you know, from labor and business and, you know, firefighters and cops and law enforcement. I actually have just been a tremendous amount of support from, you know, a wide ranging group and, you know, many mayors and elected officials and the Seattle Times endorsed me. And I think that was a surprise for some. And I was very gratified to see that. So I think actually the mood of the people now, I think, has really shifted and really refocused on quality of life and making sure that people not only feel safe, but in actuality are safe.
What was this controversy? I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I pulled a couple of clips that I've heard. But and we've invited Lisa Mannion to come on the show, but she was on with my friend Brandy Cruz's podcast a few days ago, and she compared prosecutors to Amazon truck drivers. What was that all about?
Yeah, we were in a debate in Federal Way on last Thursday, she has actually said this many times before. And we've had, I think that was the 19th forum that we've had together. And she has said this previously. And it always kind of struck me as, really, that's the work? That's what you think of the prosecutors in the office, that they're like putting what she said was, in response to the fact that she's never tried a criminal case, never handled one criminal trial, or filed a case or ever had a caseload, she says, well, Jeff Bezos doesn't put the labels on the boxes or drive the trucks. Well, when that happened to be live stream, and she had said this previously, but when the current, you know, deputies in the office saw that they were comparing her work, you know, their work at the prosecutor's office to putting labels on boxes and driving trucks, you know, they were like, well, what in the world are you talking about? And the other thing is, is she denigrating the work of people that, you know, work, you know, doing, you know, driving and have kept our economy alive? Well, what did she mean by that? It was really an elitist comment, and it showed that reflected that she believes she's above doing that work, which she never did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say what you just said, that I think the people who work in our warehouses and drive trucks, they are you know, the salt of the earth, backbone of our economy. So, yeah, it was very, I mean, and I did see that there are people who worked, a senior deputy prosecuting attorney named William Doyle sent sent a public letter. He's in the homicide and violent crime unit, and he was very, very upset that she made that comparison.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think actually, there's been a lot of that going on. You know, there is really a great deal of turmoil in the office. I mean, to have people who run units, the people that have endorsed me, the individual who runs the appellate unit, who's been in the office 32 years. He's been the head of the appellate unit for 25 years. Just endorsed me this week, and one of the main homicide prosecutors in the office, Scott O'Toole, has endorsed my campaign. And now, you know, she's got a near revolt with the junior deputies in the office, because it's like, well, what do you mean? You're just completely devaluing the work that they do, which is, you know, it is really grueling, hard, you know, intellectually, but also physically, to, you know, to be in trial and to manage a caseload. And she just doesn't have any experience doing any of that. She's really out of touch.
Now, it's going to be, as I said, I think this is the most important race on the ballot. In my view, you are the clear choice, because she has just shown such a tendency in every indication that she's going to continue the soft on crime policies that are crippling our region. Yeah. But we'll keep trying to get her on the show as well. Jim, it's good talking with you, and we'll stay in touch.
Thanks, Dory. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Farrell, he used to work in the prosecutor's office, and now he is running for King County prosecutor. Huge issue. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Realize, of course, that we are much less free than other states in the country. And I really don't know why the people of this state are comfortable assigning your life to a bunch of government bureaucrats' decision making. I really don't understand. For example, in King County, the only county in the state where the voters do not pick the sheriff because the voters said, yeah, we don't want that job. We're going to give it to Dow Constantine. So the sheriff's office isn't even a sheriff's office anymore. It's a sheriff's department. It's just another King County department. It's just another radical left extension of Dow Constantine. But that seems to be this really weird growing problem throughout our region, is that people don't want to be free. And I'll give you an example of what's happening in the rest of the country. Our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, has a story up at My Northwest right now. Headline, snow is coming. Is WashDOT ready to keep the passes open? And last year, and it looks like again this year, WashDOT is dangerously understaffed. And the main reason is because of Jay Inslee's vaccine mandate for state workers. 175 WashDOT maintenance workers lost their jobs. 175 of them. So, and you know what happened last winter? The passes were in horrible shape. Well, I don't know if you've heard, but the New York State Supreme Court has just struck down that state's vaccine mandate. They said that all of the state workers who were fired because of the vaccine mandate are going to get their jobs back with back pay. So it's going to turn out to be a long, long vacation, a stressful vacation. But in New York State, they are getting their jobs back. The Supreme Court just ruled that it was a great overstep. Now, would Washington State Supreme Court do the same thing for our wonderful state workers who got fired by Jay Inslee? Probably not, because our state Supreme Court is one of the most radical leftist in the nation. But let me just tell you about this New York. They found that being, quote, being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting or transmitting COVID-19. Now, we've known that for ages. Jay Inslee claimed that he had to have the vaccine mandate to stop the spread. But the state Supreme Court of New York says, nope, you got to rehire all of those people. You have to give them their jobs back. It's just yet another example of how backwards Washington State is compared to the rest of the nation. And we're seeing this in so many other areas, too. We've got Democrats in our state who are now saying that if the election doesn't go their way, it's going to mean violence. I mean, they are so deathly afraid of seeing an election that for once doesn't go their way. And so, I mean, we're seeing this all around the country, is that Democrats are preaching violence.
This means war. That is where we are. We are at war with these people. These folks are evil.
There is an ultra-right MAGA contingent in this country that wants to overthrow the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be an overthrow. They always say Republicans don't accept the results of elections. No, it's Democrats who absolutely will not accept this. One other that shows you how less free we are. You know how a florist in Tri-Cities lost her job because she didn't want to do flowers for a gay wedding, even though they were friends of hers? She had said because of her faith. Another decision that just came down in another state, a bakery that didn't want to do a cake for a gay wedding, they have now been said that that is not unconstitutional. It is not wrong, and they're allowed to say no. We just don't have freedom in our state. That's the bottom line right now. Okay, quick time out, check the news, and then the Fastest 15 coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.